Now, you said that you had to go for interview in November 1940.
Yes.
Can you remember what happened at that interview?
I remember very well because at the end of it, I was really no wiser than I had been at the beginning as to what this organization was intended to do. The interviewers were under orders not to disclose the function of SOE, even its name. It had a cover name of ISRB, the Inter-Services Research Bureau, which of course was Scheer, a cover name, and offices in 64 Baker Street. I mean, I was not unique. Nobody, after his interview, really knew what it was all about. You were told, this is a new secret organization. We won't tell you what its objectives are until you've been cleared for security. And I very nearly said no, because they simply wouldn't tell me anything. At that time, as I said, I was a territorial gunner, and I didn't think that was going to be a very exciting form of warfare. We obviously weren't going to go back to the continent or go abroad anywhere in the world for months, if not years. And so I saw no particular attraction in joining a secret organization, and I didn't even know its name or objective. But it so happened that I came out to London from the place where I was being attached to a field gunnery unit. I was on the point of going to the Staff College at Sandhurst, and I was attached temporarily to a field gunnery unit down in Gloucestershire. My own house was out of action, owing to damage by the enemy, and I stayed with an old friend who had temporarily rented a house in Regent's Park. And he was then working in the War Office, and shortly afterwards was sent to Washington as British military attaché there. He had also another guest staying with him, called Beaumont Nesbitt, who until quite recently had been Director of Military Intelligence. And the day after my interview, he and I were having breakfast together, and I said, "May I ask your advice? I've been invited to join an organization called the ISRB, and they won't tell me what it's about. Do you think that I said, "I'm only a wartime soldier." Sorry. And it's very unlikely that I shall have particularly interesting war. I shall probably find myself in some dismal staff duty or supply or something. Do you think an organization like this would be more interesting for a man like myself? And he said, "I have little doubt that it would." And he was quite correct. He didn't answer my question and tell me what the new organization was going to do. But he was prepared to say that he thought it would be more interesting for a wartime soldier like myself than continuing in the army. And so I took his advice, and I said yes. And then I had a talk with I forget who it was, certainly it must have been my former partner, among others, but I probably had one or two talks with one or two people in SOE. And I ceased to be a territorial gunner within the week, and was, as the jargon goes, I was seconded for special employment, which means that your name is taken off the army list and you cease to have any official existence.
Can you remember at the interview what type of information they were trying to get from you about you?
Well, I think they were asking questions very similar to what you've been asking, my background, education, what I'd been doing since the war began, which was easy. I was a territorial officer, I don't remember anything specific apart from that. Their interviewing system was pretty good, and if somebody had a weakness, of course they were always asking about languages, and I was not a great linguist. I said, well, I speak a certain amount of French and quite a bit of Italian, because my first wife had been brought up in Italy and actually spoke Italian before she spoke English. But no, I don't remember anything else of interest.
Do you remember who conducted the interview? Or how many of them there were?
I ought to, but I don't, and I didn't think I did. When I wrote this book, I know my memory is worse now than it was 5 years ago.
So what was the next step once you'd accepted employment with them?
Well, I had to come back, of course, and live in London, and my house being out of action, I went to live with another friend who was temporarily living somewhere in Regent's Park, and I reported for duty at 64 Baker Street, where I discovered that my peacetime partner had been made the head of H Section, which dealt with Spain and Portugal. I should explain, as you would see from Michael Foote's big book, and almost any book on SOE, that they were organized. There were country sections, and there was a French section, Belgian and so on, Norwegian, a Scandinavian section. They were either country sections or regional sections. And this being November 1940, the H section dealing with Iberia was obviously important, because the British government and secret services were all wrongly convinced that Hitler's next step after the fall of France was going to be to invade the peninsula and cross the Pyrenees with all the help they could get from Franco, and then try to capture Gibraltar, which would have enabled him to close the entrance to the Mediterranean. And his failure, I think, to go into the Iberian Peninsula really lost him the war, or lost him the chance of at least surviving the war. I mean, he would have been able to play for a draw if he could have blocked the Mediterranean. We would never then have been able to launch Operation Torch, which was the landing in North Africa in
1943?
November 42, isn't it?
42, yes.
42, I think. It was the year I left Lisbon. And I had a bit over two weeks in London trying to learn from people who'd had some experience, not necessarily in war, but some experience of clandestine operations, and some experience there working in enemy territory and observing security. And of course, above all, I had to be instructed in the use of explosives and the obvious weapon training. And I was only 2 weeks in London before I went out to Portugal on, I think it was the 2nd of January 1941.
Had you ever been there before?
Never. That was my only defense when after I'd arrived in Lisbon, when people said, as they frequently did, "Do you speak Portuguese?" And I said, "No." "Well, why did they send you here?" And I said, "Well, you know what the War Office is like. They always send you to a place where you have no qualification." And that answer always conveyed complete conviction.
What, in fact, did you know about Iberia? Anything in particular?
No. No. No, I don't think I'd ever been either to Spain or Portugal at that time. And no, they wanted somebody who had the qualities they were after, who was sensible and didn't lose his head, and could be relied on to carry out orders. When you've been a lawyer in a big firm, you do have a sense of security. I mean, you're constantly involved in large and secret operations, which in the interest of your clients, you must keep absolutely secret. And so my partner and I, and two or three other partners in the same firm who were recruited later on, started with the advantage that they could presume we were security minded.
Did you feel, in the light of what happened later, that your lack of Iberian background was any disadvantage?
You could always get somebody locally and from the British colony. I eventually got a man from the Signal Corps who spent most of his life in Brazil. I was quite a youngish man, but he spoke fluent Portuguese with a Brazilian accent, and he was recruited and sent out, and he was invaluable to me.
Was it easy to get out to Lisbon in those days?
No, because the German long-range bombers were based at a base called Merignac near Bordeaux, and they could fly a very long way out into the Atlantic, and so any British or other Allied aircraft flying to Lisbon or Gibraltar had to fly on a practically semicircular course out west to sea, and then in order to try and keep out of range of the German long-range bombers. Curious enough, they hardly ever, I think only on one occasion, did they shoot down an Allied aircraft flying on that route, and that was the case of there's a famous actor who was shot down. and another man I knew in that aircraft. That was about 1942, I think. But anyway, people used to, cynics used to say, the Germans don't want to shoot down these aircraft because they're certainly carrying German agents to Britain, to or from.
What were your impressions when you got to Lisbon?
Well, of course, one was amazed after a year of war and blackout and rationing to find a neutral city. Where you had your headlights on and the street lights were on, no rationing, and everything as in peacetime. The Portuguese were very conscientious, rather unlike the Spaniards, in separating or trying to separate representatives of the belligerents. And they wouldn't have asked a German military attaché and a British military attaché to the same ceremony, or put them side by side. The Spaniards really couldn't care less. I think they rather enjoyed demonstrating the enmity of the belligerents and demonstrating how wise their government was in maintaining neutrality. We, of course, always want, it was a cardinal issue of British policy as practiced by Sir Samuel Hoare with the full approval of Churchill,